Today I pay homage to my mother-in-law, Gretel Nephew, fondly known as Grace. Now, Grace does not give grace, but what I have learned from Grace is how to love. Grace was a strong, independent woman. And the most thing I love about her is how she raised her sons. Grace raised two amazing boys all on her own, with the help of God, of course. But what I saw was she gave them self-confidence. My husband walks tall because of his mom. My husband loves dearly because of his mom. My husband is not ashamed of who he is, his body, his frame, because of his mom. She gave them unconditional love. I learned how to raise my son because of Grace, because of how she raised her son. I made it a duty to ask her, "How did you do it?" And she had grace enough to tell me. I said in the beginning that Grace did not show grace, but Grace always showed grace in how she treated others. She was very direct, which is more like me, so we got along perfectly. She told you exactly how she felt. She never minced words, just the way I like it. She was pleasant when she wanted to be, but stern when she had to be. That woman gave me the best gift I could ever have in her son, Marlon.
One of the things my mother-in-law wanted was a girl, but her first child was a son. But that didn't stop her. She was going to teach that son, that child, everything she knew. She loved to bake. She loved to cook. She loved to sew. She was very creative. And trust me, that boy knows how to bake. That boy knows how to cook. That boy knows how to sew. That boy knows how to wash. That boy knows how to clean. That boy knows everything. And she didn't get her girl, but she downloaded everything she knew into her son. She did everything for those boys. Now I see my husband. I don't think he's conscious of it, but he's radiating his mom.
Grace, I salute you. I thank you. I thank you for what you have done. I thank you for the gift of your son. And I thank you for showing me how to raise little Marlon.
Let's continue to celebrate women this month. Ladies, repeat this affirmation. Blessed are you, God or Lord, King of the universe, for having made me according to his will, who created women as the crown of creation. We ask for a complete recovery for sick people in our communities and in Jamaica and all across the world. We pray for the welfare of others, and we ask God to bless our homes and our loved ones. In these precious moments, I reflect on the generations of women who have prayed such words and thank God for something even greater, for endowing us with an innate sense of holiness. May this week arrive to bring us perfect faith, love of, and an attachment to good friends, and an attachment to our Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bring into our lives kindness, good fortune, and blessing. Bring into our lives success, good health, wealth, and honor. Bring blessings upon our husbands, children, lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, 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 world. We're honored you came back to the Beloved Queens podcast. I'm Tina Matheson with my ladies, Claudia Lewis, everybody calls Queen Trina, and Veronica Gray. Ready, queens?
Let's get it on, ladies.
Caribbean queens in the ATL.
For the next few seconds, just rock with us. Rock with us. Rock with us. Next few seconds, yeah, just rock with us.
Feel the vibes, man.
Last week, we had a pretty intense discussion about the different lenses in which we process childhood pain. And I gotta tell you guys, I really have to be honest with you. Going back through some of those memories, as you can imagine, it hit me hard and it hit all of us pretty hard. Thanks everyone who reached out to say you can identify, or to the other person who said it helped you make amends with a family member, or the other one who said it's given you a reason to self-reflect. Or maybe start some much-needed therapy. We all need that sometimes. Guys, this is how it's always been. Our conversations for more than a decade has been a podcast in the making. It feels for us like it's a space where women connect to grow into the full expression of ourselves.
As a society, we're fascinated with royalty, all the myths and realities of it all. From royal weddings to beauty pageants, we're glued to the TV until one woman is crowned queen. Yet how many of you have ever imagined yourselves crowned, glamorous, regal, and standing in your power?
The best person to kick off the conversation with is Queen Trina, who has experienced pageantry before.
Oh, yeah.
You've walked down runways with confidence and been a pageant mom even. But more than the outward glam, the person crowned queen usually possesses an inner spark that comes from somewhere. Tell us about growing up in Jamaica and learning you're a powerful girl.
Well, I can recall my mom getting ready to go to different events, and the way she dressed, the way she put her makeup together, her hair down, you know, she was very detail oriented. So she made sure the nails were done, the shoes and the handbag had to match. And I recall just watching her get ready and the feeling that I got inside, and the look and sparkle, the way she would like glow and light up when she was getting ready. And I always admired that about her. And I remember her like going into a room and just kind of owning the room. And I loved that feeling. I loved watching her do it. And I wanted to be just like that, just to go into a room and own it. It was something that she possessed inside, I guess, that really would radiate out. And I wanted to be a part of that. So I think she started dressing me up as her little personal dolly. And I think that kind of made me started feeling and kind of embracing that role, that inner spark, and knowing that I too was a diva in training.
Queen V, how about you? How was it for you growing up, you know, being raised by your mom? Was it different? Was it the same?
Well, my queen example, of course, was my mom, but hers was more in terms of leadership.
So I saw my mom as always being a leader. So you know how queens ruled kingdoms, right? My mom ruled wherever she was. She came from a family of, I think, 8 or 9. And she was the second to youngest out of the family. But for some reason, everyone came to her. Most of the decisions, everyone came to find out, okay, what are you going to do? I think because she was an action person. Hello? Chip didn't fall far from the block.
Yeah.
So her role of being, you know, the person to make the decisions and to take action, I saw that and it just somehow seeped in, I guess. And I've always been that type of person. As even though I'm more quiet, I know you don't sound like it because I'm loud, but even though I'm more quiet and introvert, I'm always taking ownership and leadership. And I just walk, I guess, in my mom's shoes.
I definitely got the message from my mom and grandma that I was born to be great. Yep, God's gift to the human race, they used to say. Both mom and grandma kind of lived in England for a little bit. So just imagine my mom for a bit. She's 5 feet tall with the confidence of a giant. She used to say, I'm 5 feet, nothing in my socks. Well, she still says it. Stoosh is the Jamaican term for her, proper to a T. Always pleasant, always affectionate. I remember her growing up, she would blink her eyes in mine and she would rub her nose on mine. Totally like affectionate mother. She was proper. She had the proper way to hold a teacup. You know, you had to sit with your back straight at the table. Oh, as for dressing, you know, she always dressed in her little suits with diamond buttons. When she's not in her nurse's uniform, of course. Grandma, on the other hand, was in love with God like he was her husband. She was very talented, and she is still very talented. She could sew, write songs. She would just make up a song on a whim. She raised chickens, loved to bake. I remember she would make drops out of exotic in the backyard. On a cold stove. Yep, she could sew. That woman always used to say, take your hand on farm fashion, she still say it, which means make your money with your creativity. And I'm going down memory lane because there's an African proverb that says, in order to know where you're going, you have to remember where you're coming from. Let's acknowledge one fact before going any further. We can all agree that the one consistent theme we saw growing up are strong Jamaican women. They did everything from working to running the house, making the money, taking care of us, running business, and the list goes on. I don't know how they could do so much stuff. From their examples, though, we kind of took it that I deduced that we can carry the world like a basket on our heads, be responsible for everybody, and make sure everybody else is okay, even if we're not.
Oh, yeah, man.
This is an understatement.
As fabulous as they were, as an adult looking back, now, Queen Trina, can you identify some patterns that you picked up that didn't prepare you to be a wife, but kind of kept you in this single female mentality?
Listen, Queen T, let me tell you. Plan B. That's all I have to say. Plan B. I am the queen of a plan B. I'm a work in progress on the plan B. Just keeping it real. Keeping it real. 100. I am still working on it. My mom was a planner. So I watched her always plan. And she instilled in me, like, listen, you have to make sure you always have a plan. So when I got married, I love my husband. My husband loved me. We're living together.
Even then, I still had my plan B. My mom was telling me, you make sure you have the account. I'm putting money in the account for you. I always had that security blanket, knowing that no matter what happened, plan B was in effect, people. Plan B was in effect. You know? And, like, really had to think about how that affected my marriage, because was I given 100% of myself in that space?
But why do you think she stressed your plan
because
B that
much? Because
she
was coming from a place of hurt, where she didn't want me to have that experience, dealing with past relationship, coming from heartaches, and, you know, not like never letting go of that, and kind of trying to protect me in a sense, like, I don't want you as my daughter to have to go through that, to depend on a man 100%. Because I've been there and I was hurt. So, you know, at the time, I didn't understand that's where she was coming from. It took me years and some therapy, some wife therapy. Thank you, ladies. Y'all know. But, you know, I had to kind of allow myself to, you know, what I said, my girlfriend always say, take the meat and leave the bone. Learn from the mistakes. Learn from the mistakes, ladies.
Wow. So, Queen V, you had like a version of the Plan B story. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah, so I guess it comes from a single parent plan. Everyone always have the, you know, you have the VIX money. In Jamaica, we call it the VIX money, where you always have that stash of funds just in case anything goes wrong. You can be like, okay, peace out. Because, you know, you'll be good. But my mom also stressed her plan B was education. So again, because she was from a family, a large family, and they weren't, you know, they weren't wealthy, they were farmers. And she couldn't get, you know, extended education, I guess. So what happens is she made sure that her kids we're going to be educated. When I tell you I went to school 7 days a week, I'm not even exaggerating. I went to school 7 days a week. Mm-mm-mm. Sunday school, Monday school, then you have private lessons after school, then you have extra class after school, then you have Saturday classes, then you have extramural. I mean, I went to every school you can think of. There would be nothing that I was going to miss. Her kids were going to be educated. That was her plan B, because she felt like, okay, if you are educated, you can make it on your own. And I think also that stemmed from her being hurt as well. You know, she just felt like if she was better educated, she would have been further along that, or she didn't have to work as hard as she is or she did before. So she wanted to make sure that my plan B was education. And boy, did I suffer. I love it now, but yes, I did suffer.
Oh. And she always, you know, there was, education was a big deal, but she made sure that you could stand on your two feet because of being able to think for yourself and sort of this dependence on her too, whether or not you were married, right?
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, that's always her, because she's always going to be there. So regardless of who you've been with, who you have as a mate or wherever, I know I can always go home.
Wow. These plan Bs, ladies. Wow.
Stick up in.
The Beloved Queens podcast continues after the break.
This week's Empress shout-out goes to Yolanda Seals Stewart. She is the CEO of Alliant Behavioral Health, 2440 Sandy Plains Road, Marietta, Georgia. You can call her at 678-607-8662. We salute you, Empress Yolanda. Before the break, we talked about the strengths that we saw our moms exhibit and what they taught us. Now we're going to take a look at nature and see how the queen bee becomes a queen bee and what is her primary purpose.
In my meditation one morning, I heard, go and research queen bee. So what I did, I went and pulled up biological studies about the actual queen bee. I'm just going to read the studies of what I found. In a colony of honeybees, a fertilized egg can develop into a queen or a worker, depending on the diet provided to the developing bee. Early on, all bee larvae are fed a substance called royal jelly ladies. You ever hear that before? Very interesting. After 3 days, those destined to become queens receive royal jelly for the rest of their lives. Queen bees live years. Workers live weeks and die after stinging. So what I want to focus on is this part. I searched this part up and it says the queen's two primary purposes are to produce chemical scents that help to regulate, listen to this everybody, regulate the unity of the colony. And the second purpose, of course, is to lay a lot of eggs. But what I want you to focus on is she produces chemical scents that help to regulate unity of the colony. Regulate your family. Regulate your household. So, when you hear that queen tree, because for me, when I first heard that, I'm like, her aura, her scent, her chemicals are supposed to bring about. All right, everybody, just imagine a queen bee in a hive with a whole bunch of bees, a bee nice and things. So there's a lot of chaos going on. It's, you know, kind of typical to our household, you know, children running everywhere. Husband, I do this. You, I do that as a working woman. We're everywhere. It's busy. And her scents, her aura, her chemicals is designed biologically to regulate the unity of all of that disorder. Queen Trina, tell me when you hear this. What thoughts come to your mind? Because it for me, it felt so
when
shocking.
When you read it, Queen T, I was like, wow. It makes absolute sense. The whole connection where they say, happy mom, happy wife, happy life. Everyone in the household is pulling on your energy. So if you as a wife or a mom is off and not centered, then the whole household is in chaos. Just like in the colony where everybody is just buzzing and people are going wild. The queen bee has to be centered. She has to have some kind of direction directing her household on how her children, everyone is feeding off her aura. If she's shining and glowing, then it flows through the house, through everyone around her. I'm thinking about that royal jelly and what that looks like. What does that look like, you know, in the colony?
That's interesting, isn't it? She feeds off of it. Ah, it's her diet. Period.
She feeds
on it for the rest of her life is what the study said.
But ladies, you are talking about food, but what came to mind is also what you put in your mind and your spirit. So it's what you feed yourself mentally as well, because what you feed yourself mentally also comes out external and affects your household. So if your mental space is not nurtured, you are going to come in with a negative energy. Your family is going to have that negative energy. Your house is going to have that negative energy. I think we spoke about this prior in another cast where we were talking about how joy fills the house. And if the mom was happy, Trina mentioned that earlier. Tina had an example when her kids, when she was happy, how the entire household became happy. The kids were more fun. Everyone was having a better time because there was joy in the house. So I think that's also has to be when you well talk fed. About feeding on the queen bee, feeding on that royal jelly. For humans, as much as it's nurturing with food, physical food, and getting your body right does. And mental, but I also think that there's a mental aspect to it as well.
And Veronica was saying it has to do as well what goes in your ears. What are you looking at? What are you surrounding yourself with? Who are you listening to? Okay? Who are you listening to? Are you listening to people who is going to make sure that your light glows? Or are you talking to those joy-sucking folks? Are you feeding your mind something that is going to give you, you know, to let what come out? You remember, there's something in the Bible say, what out of the heart somebody mouth speaks. What is in your heart that is coming out? Right? And so that's the thing. It's not just what you put in your mouth. It's what you put in all of your senses that is going to help you. What do you put in all of your senses that will help you to show up optimal performance for your family, for yourself, for your spouse? Or are you the person that listening to a whole bunch of negativity? Your light is not there, right? Darkness just is everywhere. So how do you show up? What are you getting? What are you doing? All right, this week, ladies, right? Up to this week, we discover the power of peppermint. That was our little royal jelly this week, where sometimes you really have to do something that is going to revitalize your body. Something down to the point of, when was the last time you took a little bubble bath to just relax? Self-care is very important. So
a lot of women might say that they don't have the time.
Mm-hmm. That's the biggest.
A lot of women will say they don't have the time. Single moms, we grew up with them. Mm-hmm. Right? You ever see your single mother take no bubble bath? Any of you ever see it?
No. They got work.
Trina, right? So we saw the strength of women. We saw the power of women. Mm-hmm. Thinking that power meant that you are the Energizer Bunny and you keep going and going and going and going and going until you become an adult and you realize, oops, I can't keep going. All right, let me read this other part, ladies. So, this other part. The effects of the queen signal. So, this is the same chemical thing that keeps everything in unity, not into big fighting, an argument, and just your mouth is just putting out poison. The effects of the queen signal are maintenance of worker cohesion, making sure everybody work together. Suppression of queen rearing. So only she alone supposed to reign. Inhibition of worker reproduction. And the stimulation of worker activities. These include, right? You ever hear land a plane? Cleaning, building, guarding, and feeding. Running the colony to make sure that everything is going according to order and structure. Listen to this. When the queen is old or sick or dies, workers are driven to rear new queens from young brood within 12 to 24 hours. Ready to this? The removal of the queen in absence of young broad soon leads to the decline of the colony. This is bio. This doesn't have nothing to do with nothing. This is bio.
Mm. But how often do we recognize that God has shown us how to live through nature and has used animals and there's an order to things?
Yes.
God is a man of order, and he is always, it's in nature. If you want to see what order he has planned for us, just look at his creation. We are part of his creation. Now, when we go away and be disobedient and try to do something that is not in order, that's where we fail. And that's when we have, you know, all these issues and all these problems, because we are not going in order. Now, if we work according to his will, come on, we're unstoppable. Look what the bees can do. Create an entire colony of workers. I was watching the video you sent earlier, and even in transport, they have at least 5 bees to feed her through transport. If they're transporting the queen bee from one colony to a next, they are making sure that she is protected and fed at all times. And then when she comes in, everything goes into order. No matter how disarrayed the colony is at that time, once the queen bee comes in and sends out her signals, she gets everyone in tip-top shape. What would you do if you were in order?
Yes, I started thinking about there can only be one queen bee in a colony. So there can only be one queen in a castle. That's where the order comes in. We have to recognize the order of that. And there can't be, it's going to be conflict if there's 2 queens in one castle.
Ah, you know what that reminds me of, Trina? Leave and cleave. A lot of people in their marriages, sorry, I'm going to talk some on a business, but there's a lot of people in marriages that feel that they should bring their parents along, especially their mothers. And that is a sign of trouble, because you cannot have 2. What Jamaica say, 2 NK in a one house? That's what them say?
What's a 2 bullet in a one pen?
Not 2 head, no, 2 one head pen. In a 2, no, 2 Middle bull can be in a one pen, or no man, 2 N or 2 cock can, something. Sorry, Jamaicans, whoever know it, and I put it in a social media. But something about 2 hens can rule one roost. But again, nature, you cannot have
somebody 2 has
queens
to rule
in one household. Somebody has to rule. Because that person has to set the atmosphere for the entire family. And what if yours is different from your in-law? Mm. And it will be. Because she has different years of wisdom. You are new. This is a new family. This is a new colony. You have to start
Leave and cleave. Leave and cleave.
Leave and cleave.
And we understand it's not an easy process. It really isn't. But it's the order of how things are supposed to be. It's in nature. And it's according to God's law. We have to follow the order.
It's funny because even in the video it says the hive can only have one queen, which Trina said earlier. And it said when there are 2, the colony divides. So we literally saw the bees were in one place, and then because 2 queens were there, one went south and one went east and one went west, and they're following the scent because home is where the queen is, right? And anyhow, you have 2 queens, your colony will be divided. Your colony will be divided. There's this part in the thing, it says, you see, after the queen gone about her business, it says the colony becomes disorganized, unfit, dirty, susceptible to disease, and the prey of predators. It rapidly depopulates and goes toward a certain death. Mm-hmm. What if you don't realize you're the queen?
That's a mouthful, Tina.
Because you didn't get any training. Remember the order of what it is in with the queen bee. She was raised from what is that, lava? Was it lava? And placed and being fed with that royal jelly. So it's if you as a child were not raised to look at yourself as a queen, as a leader, as someone who commands commands attention. Is it attention or respect? I'm sorry. I'm looking for the word respect. And command respect. You don't know how to be a queen. You're not going to know that you are one. Because they weren't taught. No one told you. No one showed you what it looks like. No one took the time to train you, quote unquote, how to be one. And then you're thrown into a family. You're thrown into a relationship. And here is a husband. And you have some may have a child. You don't have to have a child, but you still have a family. You still have a colony to rule. It's disarray. Without any knowledge of being a queen and can't rule and can't guide that household, it's going to be disarray, as it says.
And then not even knowing that part of the purpose is supposed to be unity. Like that as a main purpose.
Yeah, but unity when you come from brokenness.
That's true. And I'm thinking about that the fact that you can't be crowned a queen if you really don't embrace your royalty. So where do you get? Yeah.
Right. So when you say crown, Trina, what
like
do you
no
mean?
One
like
can, treated? I can say Queen V or Queen T. But until you embrace and accept who you are as an individual and really feel like you are a queen, then that crown symbolize some have a meaning behind it for you. So I can call you queen, but if you're not embracing that, it means nothing to you. And how do you embrace that? How do you embrace being the queen bee of your home?
Well, first of all, I never saw myself as a queen. Right? Just to be 100% raw and out there, because we out here.
We out here.
I never really saw myself as a queen until one day I was meditating. And in my meditation, I saw an image of myself where I had like this. I'm like in full gold. I'm seeing myself royal with a staff, with a cape. I'm seeing myself with a crown that looked like it was coming out from the back of my head like a huge star. And I'm seeing this vision of myself. And then I saw both of you next to me. But when I saw that picture, I was like, wow. And I heard the heart of God, that's how he saw me. And so when I got back out of that meditation and I'm, you know, just doing my walks, I felt like that person up there was another person and I was someone else. And so when we did our fast, I realized that I had duplicity in my own person. Because once I wasn't meditating, I didn't feel like a queen. And when I'm meditating, I feel like I've been transported to somewhere else. And I'm a different person from the person down here. And so I had to acknowledge, like, help me to see myself as that all the time across the board, whether I'm meditating or I'm out of it. And so we had to literally in that fast pray, God, help us to see ourselves as you see us, so we don't live beneath what you have called us to live. And so when we started calling each other queens, it had a different meaning, because now we were looking through not our lenses of just the little girl who our father leave or our, you know, went through abandonment issues, not the little girl that felt like she was rejected, not the little girl not the grown woman who sometimes have imposter syndrome, not the person who have everything that she's not qualified for, and not that girl that I criticize all the time. I realized that I had issues with how I saw myself. And so I had to, this was a prayer that, let me pull it up. Here it is, Queen Affirmations. I wrote it down. It's literally one line. Today, the queen in my spirit connects to my soul and shows up in my body. So that I wouldn't be these two people in one body.
Repeat the prayer again.
Today, the queen in my spirit connects to my soul and shows up in my body.
That's a post right there, people.
Tweet that. And every day, we're embracing our queen. Every day after we prayed that prayer, we look for our light. Every day after that prayer, we make sure. Queen V is very good already trying to protect her joy and her light.
But long time.
Queen Trina and I had to do some work. But every day, we now are very vigilant about not letting drama steal our light or our joy. Right? Queen Tree, talk to them about the queens don't do drama. That's a tweet right there.
No, we sure don't. No more drama. We're walking away from that. Mm-hmm. Right, Queen Veronica? You taught us well.
Absolutely. It's so funny. I was talking to my sister, Jermaine, and she gave me a new way to deal with drama. She said, when the drama begins, just start sneezing.
I'm allergic.
I love it.
She said, the minute you pick up on the drama coming out of some people's
allergic.
I'm allergic.
I'm taking that one. I'm allergic. I'm using that. I'm using it. Achoo!
So I'm telling you, we have to, as queens, guard our joy, guard our light, realize that there is, as broken as we all are and where we come from and what we went through and having father issues and list goes on and doing wrong things that we should not have done. Bottom line is we can start today.
Lord, help me to see myself the way you see me.
Until next time, add us to your calendar every Monday. Subscribe, like, leave a comment, and tell everybody, I mean everybody, about our podcast. And don't forget to follow us on all social media platforms at The Beloved Queens. See you next time.